Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to take up the mantle of the Geek Fatale. Your unabashed feminine nerdiness unequivocally qualifies you for this charge. You are tasked with experiencing every aspect of geek culture. The going may be rough, but you will come out on top and look good doing it. This message will self-destruct in 3, 2, 1.
Watch out! Hello, Geek Nation, and welcome to Geek Fatale. I'm your host, Casey, and tonight we have our returning co-host, Meredith.
Hello, Geek Nation.
We are changing things up here a little bit at Geek Fatale, and what would once be a special mission is now a regular mission?
It's a regular mission with a brand new friend to take along on your journey. Hello, Geek Nation.
And while she's new to the official co-hosting seat, she is not new to the podcast. You can hear Meredith on some previous special missions and some. I'm getting a little confused because we recorded several that never quite made it to air.
Now I'm sad. I am on the cutting room floor.
You are not on the cutting room floor for YouTubing. We did an episode called YouTubing about where we share some of our favorite YouTube clips. And that did not make it to air, much to my dismay, because I posted all over the place that I was putting it up. But it is being pulled back, revamped, and made better, stronger, faster. So we actually will be doing another episode called YouTubing. But for now, tonight's episode is our Week in Geek, as is traditional in the Geek Fatale podcast, as well as a general discussion between me and Meredith about what it means to be a geek.
Marvelous.
Well, for right now, it's that time. It's our Week in Geek.
This is my first Week in Geek. Be gentle.
Okay, and welcome to Week in Geek, Meredith. It's your first official Week in Geek.
It is. It's my first time. Please be gentle. So my recent ventures into geeking include trading Lego minifigures with a coworker who I happened to get hooked on them.
So what did you trade?
I gave him I gave him the Bandito. It's this guy, little, you know, Mexican bandit looking guy with a cowboy hat and bandana around his face. And he gave me, that's from series 6, and then he gave me the evil troll from series 5. He's awesome. He's got like the helmet and the axe and stuff, and he's only like, he's about 2/3 the size of the normal minifigures because, you know, he's a troll, he's little.
I want the troll.
He's awesome.
I totally want that. Did you trade something like good?
I gave him the Bandito and then he gave me the troll, so actually I won.
Oh.
Yes, but he wanted a Bandito and I wanted a troll. So
I admit that I didn't hear that, but I also think to myself, Bandito, troll, not a fair trade there. Did you just screw over your friend and not tell him?
No, I showed him mine and he showed me his, and then he told me what he wanted to do. So that's how it went. It's not my fault that I won.
It's not your fault that you got all the pleasure out
That's
of that
right.
exchange.
He was very giving.
Well, this week, for me, you might have heard, because, you know, Meredith and I hang out quite a bit outside of this. I had an epic win and an epic fail.
It's not an epic fail. It was an epic sad.
It was an epic sad. I bought a Wonder Woman bikini. And I was jonesing for the Wonder Woman bikini for a long time as soon as I saw it. If you haven't seen it, it's from Spencer's. It's gold-trimmed string bikini, and it's got red with the W on the top and the blue and white stars bottom. And I was, you know, I was jonesing for that.
I know, but then what happened?
It cost $50! And I'm sorry, but that amount of material for $50 is just sick and wrong.
It's called an investment.
It's an investment Yes, but it came at the wrong time. Like, why do bathing suits sell out before summer?
It's true.
That's my problem, is that I really want that bikini, and I want to go back and get that bikini. But when I have the money...
Right, and when it's on a reasonable sale or clearance price, it's going to no longer exist.
Exist, yes! That, and it was built for teenagers, and I can totally figure out how they duped me.
Casey's all woman, people.
Well, what you forget when you're reading, watching catalogs is, like, and checking things out online and things like that, is how they manipulate clothing.
Yes.
To look perfect on the model.
Yes. Everything is tucked and pinned and altered. Yeah. And they stand just so with the one hip jutting out.
And it just perfectly manipulates it and screws with your head because it doesn't look like that at all when you get there.
Right.
And this bikini fit the woman's top and fit the woman's bottom in the front. And then you could see her from the back, and this is just still photographs.
Right.
So what I forgot was that there might be the potential of there being, when you see her in the front, there's nothing covering in the back.
Right.
Because they've pulled it up so far in front to look like a normal bikini that they don't show you the naked butt in the back,
right,
and the vice versa when they show you the behind.
As you're walking around the edge of the pool going, ooh, look at me, I'm Wonder Woman. And... Wonder Woman never looked like that.
Yeah. Because the bikini didn't fit. It fit like a child.
Right.
A woman. And you know, it's Spencer's.
Yes.
So she looks like va 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 voom in the bikini. And that bikini, no way that bikini for her size fit her.
Right.
It had to have been an extra large to fit that much woman. Because the bikini I tried on was my size, fit, but didn't cover anything. So lesson learned, remember the tricks they do in catalogs,
yes.
Because I'm still jonesing for this, but there's something in me that doesn't want to buy, like, three sizes bigger.
Right.
Because...
$50 ill-fitting bikini, just to look at it in the closet and go, I could be Wonder Woman! This is awesome!
Yeah, so that was my experience. What else have you been doing?
I've developed a weekly... habit of going over to my dad's to watch / help him play Skyrim. Those of you who may not be familiar, where have you been? It's it's part of the Oblivion video game series, where basically it's this enormous, gorgeous, involved RPG with lots of little side quests and beautiful weapons and people that you can take along with you on your journeys to help you out, and be careful that you don't slit their own throats, because that doesn't help you when they're dead and they're carrying all the stuff you plan to take to market to sell. So basically, while my dad's playing, I'll let him know, oh, your life's getting low, or oh, stop hitting Lydia, or or the dragon's behind you, dumbass.
No, is your dad a noob?
No, he loves his video games. He's just not always very good at them.
And I would imagine Skyrim, one of the things you have to worry about is all the other stuff going on around
there
you.
There is so much going on at all times.
So the dragon could be behind you, but some stuff is going on in front of you and the side. So.
Yes, and there's this nasty little habit the game has where you'll be in mid-swipe with your sword and it'll change perspective.
Oh.
Like, yeah, so one second you're looking at the back of your head, and then the next second you're looking out the front of your head. And it's like, wait, where's that guy I was trying to kill? Where did he go? Meanwhile, he's hitting you in the back of the head now. A lot of the time I help him out with there's a lot of puzzles in the game too. A lot of, you have to click this and then click this and then click this. And I'm sitting there with my notepad going, okay, you got to do 1, 3, and then 2. Otherwise, he'll never get through it.
I haven't gotten into Skyrim, but I've seen so much stuff.
It is gorgeous. I don't do well perspective-wise playing games like that, but I love watching other people play them because it's kind of like watching a movie that never seems to end.
You were quite the voyeur in the beginning of my RPG days, because
yes.
I was nervous and you were nervous and you watched quite a few of our RPGs, but I crossed the line to the dark side and you did not.
Mostly because I go to dad's on Sundays.
Well, saddies, there's no Sunday Game anymore.
Aww.
One thing I noticed, I don't know if you've seen this, and listening audience, if you guys, if this is true, I totally want you to confirm it for me on the message boards, because I saw this on YouTube. There's a Skyrim torture chamber.
Oh?
Apparently. Like, if you choose the dark side of Skyrim,
okay,
you can earn a torture chamber where you can gain more points by torturing people.
That's pretty hot.
And I'm going to pause for a second. You probably won't notice because I'm probably going to edit it out. But I'm going to pause for a second and show Meredith what I'm talking about so we can discuss it in a second.
Well, that looks about right. And given what my dad told me the other day, I didn't catch all of it because I kind of tune out because he doesn't stop talking. But there was part of a quest where there was a guy who was basically telling him to beat the crap out of somebody else. And he gave him a rusty mace. And he's like, you could see the blood flying off the body, and I killed him, and then he resurrected him, and then he told me to kill him again, and then the mace turned green, and he got to keep it.
Oh my god!
So I would not be surprised if that is an authentic video that you just showed me.
It looks authentic.
It looks very authentic.
Oh my god.
It's a crazy game.
Which is terrible, because it's hidden in this glorious, gorgeous world. You know, you've got Grand Theft Auto that gets all this rap about being so horrible.
Right.
Because it's right out there on the front. But then you've got Skyrim that's on the surface.
Well, I mean, you're going around, you're killing people and...
But it's in the name of good, supposedly. But then all of a sudden you've got a torture chamber.
Well, it's a civil war.
It's what path you take.
There's civil war and there's secret cults and...
Maybe there's a torture chamber in everything from, like, Pokemon to Mario Kart or something.
Pokemon
and I just
is a torture
don't get
chamber.
It. Hey, my co-host loves Pokemon.
Sorry, Nateel.
I don't. I wouldn't know one. I just know they're cute. I like things that are cute and on the bonus can kill the people. die.
I like Oddish. Other than that, not so much with the Pokemon. His little purple radish with little green tops is so cute.
Anyway,
so what else have you done?
Well, I talked before about my Netflix addiction.
Yes.
I don't think I need a 12-step program for that, though.
No, she needs, what was it, a
212?
Yes, step program, because that's how many things are in her queue right now.
You can't blame me.
No.
Of course, that is without, like, 40 editions of Doctor Who that I X'd off because they were getting in the way of actually seeing what I wanted to see.
And I'm sorry, watching them on fast forward doesn't really count. How are you watching them on fast forward?
Well, you know, this is the thing. I watch way more movies. On paper, I watch thousands of hours of more movies than anyone else. But in reality, I fast forward through the boring bits.
Nice.
It's like watching an episode of Gilmore Girls. Talk, 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 action. Talk, 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 action. It's about a 5-minute program when you break it all down.
I guess I didn't miss anything by not watching Gilmore Girls when it was on.
No.
No, okay.
No, I mean, I liked Gilmore Girls, but in reality, if you just wanted to get to what happened that episode.
Right.
If you've ever watched soap operas, it can take 6 months to get to the door of a bedroom in a soap opera.
Right.
So you can't fast forward through a soap opera unless you have like 3 seasons in a row.
Right. Okay, I'm going to skip to the scene with Jim and Sue.
Well, like you
see what happens there.
You saw how many movies I watched on Saturday.
Yes.
And that was just like a 4-hour period. That's because like Daddy Daycare I saw already and I knew which parts I wanted to see again.
Nice.
You know, Creepshow. Too. I've seen it before, and I just wanted to re-see one that somebody had reminded me I don't remember. And same with Tales from the Dark Side. Like, I just go through and I re-watch scenes. And then there's things that, I mean, my God, some of these shows, it's just non-plot, like, stupid plot-related advancing. Like, you should tell your girlfriend you like her. No, I want to watch the part where they're about to be annihilated by the evil scientists.
Right.
I don't care about your girlfriend from high school who has a disease. You know, like,
I just want to see her get lobotomized with a fence post.
Yes. Hey, no, that was not that serious. Oh, that was another one. But I've been watching on Netflix Kyle XY. Mm-hmm. It was an ABC Family series where very... Not even naive, but like newly hatched teenage boy is found nude in the woods.
I was going to say he's like lab created or something, right? He doesn't have a belly button or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's found in the woods and he knows nothing about anything, not even like how to tie his shoes.
Wow.
And he has no belly button and they find out that he was lab created. And what I liked about it is that like the experiment was based... The premise of the experiment was that Einstein spent, like, several more weeks in the womb percolating before he was hatched, and that there might be some brain theory involved in percolating longer and creating more synapses. And that's what they did. They created what turned out to be two, a male and a female, in the lab, mm-hmm. hence no belly button.
Right.
And... gestated them for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
And he broke out. And this whole long plot over three seasons. And I'm loving the show, just like I did when I first watched it.
Yeah.
And since I watched it before, I can fast forward through most of it. And I watched the final season. And I've got to tell you, I forgot why I hated the show. And it was the fact that it's one of these shows that gets canceled out of nowhere.
Oh.
And it ends...
Like mid-storyline?
It ends at, like, a major plot point.
I hate that.
Like, they didn't know after they finished the season with that big cliffhanger that they were canceled or something like that. So it ended on this big cliffhanger, and I'll never know the truth. I'll never know what he did in that instant of almost killing that guy.
Right.
And he reveals that information. Did he kill him? I don't even know if he killed him.
You have no closure.
There's no closure, and I hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which I hate worse, no closure or ridiculous closure.
Right.
Like the ending of Seinfeld or the ending of MASH. Like,
oh, the ending of Seinfeld was stupid.
Like, it wasn't any closure at all.
Right.
And, like, I found the ending of MASH, like, ages ago, like, ridiculous because it was a dramedy.
Right.
And there really was no comedy in that final episode, so it was just, like... whatever.
Yeah.
But I remembered now, I was like, damn you! This is why I didn't got so mad at Kyle XY. Have any of programs ever done that to you?
New Amsterdam, actually. They only had one season of that, and it was such a good show. And then it's like, wait, what? You're not bringing that back? You're leaving that show on instead? What's wrong with you?
Oh my god, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, It's one thing to not cancel a show.
Right.
And it's another thing to have one almost like it, but worse,
right.
Stay on.
Yeah.
I remember Joan of Arcadia and Wonder Falls were on the same
Wonder
time.
Wonder Falls was the other one I was thinking of. I loved Wonder Falls.
Wonder Falls was so good. People, if you haven't seen Wonder Falls, and you've got a sense of humor, because you really need to have one to watch a sense of Wonder Falls. But if you're listening to Geek Fatale, you probably have one. But Wonder Falls came out at the same time as Joan of Arcadia. And Joan of Arcadia was this sappy drama about a girl who's getting talked to by God. And Wonder Falls at the same time was this
kitschy, comedy. It was adorable.
It was a comedy in the way of... God, Pushing Daisies,
like
or
a, like
something
a dark
like
comedy.
That. Like a dark comedy where inanimate objects start telling her to do stuff. And when she does it, the same thing happens as happens in Joan of Arcadia. Like, there's just major resolution in someone's life, and she realizes major things in her life. And it was this great show. And they canceled that and kept on the sappy, Bible-thumping Joan of Arcadia.
And honestly... I didn't even remember Joan of Arcadia existed until you mentioned it just now. I never had an interest in watching it at the time, even though I love learning about Joan of Arc, the real person. You know, you would think that I would inherently go, Joan of Arcadia, this is similar, let me watch this. No. No, Wonder Falls. What, she worked at like a tchotchke shop at,
yeah,
at
Niagara Falls.
It was adorable. Of course, I think inanimate objects talk to me anyway, so maybe that was the appeal for me. But yes. it was a really cute show.
But I mean, there was good things about Joan of Arcadia too. The cast was insanely amazing, and Amber Tamblyn and Jason Ritter and Mary Steenburgen. That had its elements. Like, I liked them both.
Yeah.
But it was just galling that the one that catered to, like, just one section, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of the
religious population, you mean.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I have my religion, and I'm okay with that. But why can't they both exist? That's what I hate about television, is that two different ideas with a similar concept cannot seem to survive at the same time, even if they're both amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just some stupid TV executive mentality, I guess, that just you can't have two series on at the same time. It's like Freaks and Geeks. Like, you know, there's a major, you know, audience at Wonder Falls, and there's a major audience for Freaks and Geeks, and they're both really good.
I never got to see
good.
Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, it's repeated on IFC, upper cable channel, one of them.
I get basic. Thanks, landlady.
Don't start watching the Freaks of Geeks, though, because it also does not have much of a realism. It has, like, a major...
It was only on for, like, one or two seasons, right?
Yeah. It has a major story changer event happen at the end of one of them.
Okay.
At the end of the series, and I'm like, I hate that. But what else have you been doing? Your last
more,
item.
More video games. Mostly played Kirby's Epic Yarn with my fiance. It's this adorable game. It's got to be for kids, but I don't care. It's just so freaking cute. If you remember Kirby, the little pink guy from the Super Mario universe. Basically, he ends up in this world that's a quilt. And the patches of the quilt have fallen apart.
Aww.
And he's got to help find the magic yarn to stitch the pieces of the quilt back together.
He's got to bring the world together.
Yeah, but everything's done in, like, quilt patterns, and everything's got, like, stitching around the edges, and you could, like... Kirby's made of yarn, too, and he'll, like, throw yarn and, like, grab onto a button and swing around, and it's just adorably done. We're only a couple levels into it, because we only get to play it, like, once a week. But if you like adorable, I would highly recommend.
So are the graphics good? Like, does he actually look like yarn?
Oh, yeah. Everything looks like fabric, like, and yarn. It's yeah.
You know, Big Planet?
Yes.
And they all look like...
Yeah. Aww, yeah, this is on the Wii. So the graphics are fantastic.
What else have you been playing?
We played some Super Mario Party 8, I think he has. Which is kind of like playing a board game with Super Mario Brothers characters. And then there's little side games that happen at the end of each turn.
I can't wrap my mind around a board game on a console.
Well, that's why there's the side games, too.
Like, unless it's Clue, and you're really just, you know, seeing all the cutscenes that aren't on the board game.
you go around the board, and, like, you earn coins as you go, and then there's little shortcuts you can end up taking, and there's things that set you back. Sometimes Bowser will come along and just ruin the whole game for you. there's puzzles where it'll show you a picture, and then it'll change the blocks, and you have to click them so that it forms the right picture.
Oh, okay.
Shoot targets, you have to play
like
Mario
whole...
Kart. It's this whole huge involved game. There's things you can unlock, but I don't know how yet. We haven't managed to do that. There's special characters and special boards.
A lot of mini games and puzzles connected by this concept of a board game.
Basically.
Okay.
Like, there's one where you're in... It's the Donkey Kong theme one, so you're, like, in a tree. And then there's another one that's kind of like Monopoly. And where you have to, like, buy hotels as you go around, and, you know.
Which never worked for me. I hated Monopoly. I think Monopoly is one of the worst games ever.
I love Monopoly.
I just like to shop.
There you go. Well, if you'd like to shop, the other game that I've been playing alone, because my fiance hates it, is Animal Crossing City Folk.
Oh, I've seen Animal Crossing. They're adorable.
Love Animal Crossing. It's basically you're a human who's decided to go live on your own in this town full of anthropomorphic animals. And you have to do odd jobs to earn money, to pay your mortgage, and you buy furniture, and you make friends with the people in your town. Like, if you're not friendly enough with them, they'll move out of the town. You have to pull weeds and plant trees.
Is there a way to do that in real life? Because you're right. You know, if I just stopped talking to somebody I used to live next to, I could have just got them to move out.
It's funny, because in the original Animal Crossing for GameCube, someone would just randomly send you a letter one day to say that they've moved. And it's like, oh, well, crap, I didn't know you were going to do that. I liked you. I just haven't had time. This one, they'll come running up to you and say, hey, you know, I've been thinking about a change. And you can tell them, don't go. And they'll go, well, if it really means that much to you, then maybe I'll stay.
Aww.
And you have a couple of days to either convince them to stay or convince them to get out of town. And on the last day, you go in their house and it's all full of cardboard boxes because they packed everything up. And they're like, well, I guess I'm out of here.
Now, is this multiplayer? Like, are you playing someone online or is it just a computer character?
It's just a computer character, but with the Wii, because you can put it on the internet, you can visit each other's towns. We're still trying to figure that part out. I think you both have to be playing it at the same time to be able to do that.
Well, I wouldn't want you in my town without me there supervising anyway. I know you.
I wouldn't touch your gyroids. I'd just pick your cherries, that's all. But yeah, you have to register a friend, and then you got to go to the gatekeepers and ask them to open the gate, and you can go to the other town. And
I'll have to get this and see what it's like.
And then we can go to each other's town! So awesome!
Which, you know, we probably could just play it together instead of sitting across, like, 20 miles.
And, right?
You know, being the true geeks in that we could actually be together playing the game.
Well, no, you can only play one player at a time on the console.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. You should be able to be like, I'm going over here! I'm going over here! Let's meet for lunch!
That's the other great part about Animal Crossing City Folk. In the original Animal Crossing, if you hooked up your Game Boy Advance, you could take the boat to the island. In this one, you don't have to hook anything up if you don't want to, and you can just take the bus into town. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was the boat captain in the original game is now the bus driver.
Aww.
But he still talks like an old sailor, yar. It's adorable.
Well, it's probably rough out there on the waters. He needed something more staid and indoors.
A little less wet.
Well, on the subject of Wii, I'm so pissed off at Nintendo.
Talk to me.
Because I found out, okay, I haven't really operated my Wii for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Because I suck so bad at video games.
Okay.
Like, have you played Super Mario Brothers that came with, like, the red Wii?
No.
It's just the basic platform, go make the flag go up and jump on turtles and things like that. I mean, super basic. And I cannot get to the first flag. And so having that kind of experience. But I'm awesome at, like, Lego Star Wars on the DS, which is weird because I shouldn't be good at one if I'm good at the other.
It depends. Like, I know that there's one Super Mario game that that I played with my fiancé where it is similar to the original platform. But you know how when you were in the ice world, you couldn't stop right away?
Yeah.
All the worlds are like that. You always skid a little bit when you're trying to
stop. It took me like 8 hours to get the jump system because I would go a little bit too far and I wouldn't be able to jump straight up unless I fully stopped. And that made me pray to the turtles and shit.
Right. I played it for a couple of boards and then I said, okay, my thumb is going to fall off. I'm not playing you anymore.
So maybe it's not me.
Might not
be
you. Because I am awesome at some Super Mario Brothers, but I could not play this game to save my life because of the skidding.
It's that skidding. Yeah. I can't jump.
Yeah.
So I've been hesitant to invest my money in new games.
Right.
But once I hooked up the Netflix, I was exploring the internet part and the Wii games part that you can get download right from Nintendo.
Right.
And they have Legend of Zelda
Yes.
The first
they
one.
They do.
And I love, 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 love that game, mm-hmm. right? And it's 500 Wii points.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going around trying to find Wii points in the game. I'm like, you have to be able to just download them. It's connected to the internet. So how do I get Wii points? No information.
Oh.
In that game, anywhere, in any of the settings or screens or menus that I could find about how to get Wii points, right? And I didn't want to hold my cookies, you know, turn on my computer, log on, get there. So I was like, okay. They said somewhere I've read that you can get them in stores.
Okay.
Like a Wii point card. And I'm like, okay, so I'll just pick one up at the grocery store. And they had one at the grocery store. No price. The card, like all the other gift cards that say $25, $50, does not say anything about the price.
So you can put your own denomination on or
no,
what?
No, it says 2,000 Wii points.
Okay.
I have no idea how much, and neither did the grocery store.
I want to say that's $20.
But there's nowhere anywhere.
Yeah.
You may know that. But no one else in the grocery store and myself knew how much this card was, and they would not scan it because it would activate
it. Right.
And I'm like, how the hell is the layperson supposed to get Wii points if you won't let me buy them? And it turns out you can buy them online, but shouldn't they make this easier?
You should be able to buy it through the Wii since the Wii connects to the internet.
Shouldn't you have like some sort of passkey as an adult so that you can just buy shit on there, and there's a shopping channel.
Yes.
Maybe I should have gone to the shopping channel.
I think you might have to go through the shopping channel. I haven't bought anything
I didn't
yet.
Even... I'm a recovering shopaholic.
Right.
So I avoid channels, and I was tempted to just erase the channel that said shopping channel, so I did not even go in there, and I think I'm sounding like a noob, because everyone listening who has the Wii is just like, duh, you go to the shopping channel.
Go to the shopping channel, God.
And like, I totally didn't think so, because I would be in there and be like, shoes!
I don't think you can get shoes. I think you'll be okay there.
It said shopping. I have to stay away from things that say shopping. Or I buy things like $50 bikinis. So Wii points make it a little easier on where to get it. Say in the Wii downloadable section, check
go
out the shopping
for
channel.
Wii points. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, on the roundabout bikini linking to the beginning of this.
Nice.
We'll close out this week in geek. Anything else to add? You looking forward to a geeky week?
I'm looking forward to having a day where I can just be
geeky and non-geeky.
You know what? What I really need is to go into my Animal Crossing City folk town.
In real life.
And, well, no, in the game. And catch some fish. Because I haven't made a payment on my mortgage in weeks.
In your Wii Crossing mortgage?
Yes. I don't look at me like that.
I'm
you
looking at you because I'm like...
mortgage.
I'm like, so you're going to be a homeless city folk?
I just didn't realize.
I'm looking at you because I'm like, I didn't realize they made you pay crap in there. You have to pay your bills, too? Where's the fun in that? I try to play video games to avoid the idea of trying to pay my bills.
Well, you have to pay your bills. You have to, you know, buy things for your house. You have to clean your house often or you get roaches.
Fuck that. I want to kill shit because I don't want to have to think about my bills. I'm not playing. I'll be the homeless bum on the corner.
Nice. Like,
begging for Wii change, because I swear to God, we should totally do like a Wii thing, though.
We should.
Like, we can come over and do Just Dance.
Just Dance 3 is
Let's
awesome.
Go to the mall.
Those of you today. who have seen Just Dance 3, there's a song on there called Lollipop with this trippy kind of Muppety looking video to it. And I have to say that Casey's computer desktop reminds me exactly of that video.
Are you outing me as completely psychedelic and
it's
Muppety?
It's adorable, and I love it. I love that picture every time I come over.
I'm a psychedelic Muppet and peace out, yo. And that's the end of the week in geek.
In honor of my co-host, our music selections pay tribute to the boy who lived. Up first, and taking us into the main part of the show, is Harry Potter's song Amazing by Rhett and Link. Listen to more awesome tunes from Rhett and Link at www.rhettandlink.com. That's RHETTANDLINK.com. Or you can visit their YouTube channels.
The lighting isn't perfect, and I'm not looking perfect. I'm in this huge cozy thing, and I haven't washed my hair today. You know what? It doesn't matter. And I like it this way, and I like noise, and I like it because it's real. Just as real as all of the things I'm feeling, which is just too much to put into words. And I've been putting off making this video because I just simply cannot put it into words. What I feel, no words in any language could explain how emotional this is for me. Harry Potter is a huge part of my life.
Harry Potter is a huge part of my life.
This is just a fangirl with a camera, being an amateur, making a vlog, making a statement, saying that Harry Potter changed my life, and I have no idea how to deal with it.
This is just a fangirl with a camera, being an amateur, making a vlog, making a statement, saying that Harry Potter changed my life.
Movie, and the books are finished, and this is it. This is where it ends. Oh, so many mosquitoes on me, you have no idea.
This is the last movie, and the books are finished. This is it. This is where it is. Oh, so many mosquitoes on me, you have no idea.
I am so excited, you have no idea. And it's terrifying, and it's exciting, and I am itching to death, and all these mosquitoes, and mosquitoes, and the world, and it's late, it's like midnight.
I am so excited, you have no idea.
Potter shaped me as a person. I am who I am today because of Harry. This is amazing.
Harry Potter shaped me as a person. I am who I am today because of Harry.
Harry Potter shaped me as a person. I am who I am today because of Harry.
There's so many mosquitoes.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Thank you.
This is amazing. It's amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing.
Goodbye.
And welcome back to the meat of our show.
Meat.
Meat. What kind of meat would you like to be today? Bacon? Pork?
I had some chicken earlier. That was all right.
That's the same thing. Chicken.
Actually, bacon and pork are not the same thing. It's kind of like the difference between the light meat and the dark meat chicken. There's people who like one but not the other. It's a whole different flavor and texture.
All I know is that sometimes there's just not enough bacon in the world.
There is never enough bacon. I love me some bacon. I could do without pork chops for the rest of my life. But not without the bacon.
Yes, but you date yourself. For those of you who hear the word pork chops and instantly
and
go, applesauce. You already know now, what era you came from.
Now you think pork chops and applesauce, and I think of the cartoon Doug.
Yeah, see? That means I'm old. So, moving on to the meat of our show, so we don't... God, you're like... I'm not co-hosting with you anymore. You out me as like a psychedelic Muppet and old. So I'm an old psychedelic Muppet. I'm like the original, like, felt Kermit now. Thank you very much.
But those were the good Muppets.
Okay, good. As long as you redeem yourself and say I'm awesome, that's okay. Just tell me I'm awesome and it's all good.
Awesome.
That's the way to live with me.
So today's week meat of the show is going to be a tiny little appetizer of a meat course, because we are just going to talk a little bit about what it means to her and I and everyone else to be a geek. Because we brought up this subject in discussing, and I actually brought up, you brought this up, but I actually brought this up at a game the other day because I was ranting. Ranting. Who do you consider a geek? Is it the guy rolling the D20? Is it the guy discussing details about Star Trek? Or is it the guy who can recite every producer of every album of every rock star's back to 1968?
To me, that guy, that last guy, is the biggest geek. Because it's like, wow, dude, you've invested like half your life into acquiring that knowledge.
But that makes everybody a geek in one way or other. Yeah. There are just, everyone who's cool is a geek. Because my dad is not a geek. But if you ask him about cowboy movies, he's a total nerd for cowboys.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many times I heard, did you know Audie Murphy, who's Destry right there, is the youngest veteran of World War II? And like, the facts I know about Audie Murphy could fill the Audie Murphy Museum in Texas.
Nice.
So, is he a geek, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Oh. He's just picked something not traditionally geeky, but definitely something very specialized to be interested in and to acquire a lot of knowledge about.
So,
and isn't that kind of the definition of a geek? Someone who is really into.
I once had this on my MySpace page, and I don't even know if I still have a MySpace page. You just brought up this quiz that we once did, which was, what percentage of nerd, dork, or geek are you?
Right.
And it said a nerd is someone who's passionate about learning and knowledge.
Right.
A geek
is someone who's passionate about a very specific subject.
And a dork is someone who's awkward in social situations. So if your pants are 4 inches higher than your ankles, you might lean towards dork. Right. And like our percent, it gave you 3 percentages for where you lay on the scale. But it's funny though, because to me, that is the definition.
Yep.
That a nerd is, if you were going to define it, because I don't think that nerd or geek has a definition anymore. Well, it describes the same person in the general public.
Well, it also has always had a bad connotation to it, because you think of the nerd as being bookish and socially awkward and not wanting to be social. And
exemplified by Anthony Edwards and Robert Carradine
and, yeah, you right, know, right.
Booger and, you know.
Yeah, just the complete outcasts who happen to also be smart. And
geeks have traditionally been considered computer nerds.
Right.
And I think that totally has gone by the wayside now. Like, you can be a computer geeks or gerds. Nerds, geeks, gerds. Computer guys are still considered geeks, right. I think. You know, in terms of, like, a pleasant description. I think it has lost a lot of its
negativity.
But yeah. Like any word, like bubble can be negative used in the right way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think if someone wants to be negative, they can totally bring that back if they want. They can bring the asshole back. But it's funny too, because I follow that definition, that a nerd is someone general. But I also really don't have a definition. I am both a nerd and a geek.
I am too.
You know?
Absolutely.
I think it's interchangeable now.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, and I keep saying that because I do have a story embedded in this. Babble. I called a website of mine, and my name is Being Geeky on sites.
Okay.
And I was at a convention, and I got into a slightly passionate discussion with a vendor over how negative my name of Being Geeky was, because he was adamant that geek still had a negative connotation, and I basically named my website Being Geeky as a negative thing. And I'm like, no, I don't consider it negative. Right. Do you know where this argument was, by the way?
Where?
New York Comic Con.
Nice.
I'm in the middle of New York Comic Con, arguing with one of the vendors at New York Comic Con that I gave myself a negative connotation by calling myself a geek.
I think that a lot of people do still hold on to the negative connotations of words like nerd and geek, because when I've self-described myself as one of those words, I've had people be completely horrified and stop putting yourself down. It's like, I'm not putting myself down. I like reading about things just to read about them. I know about, you know, certain things. I'm into certain things that...
Shark Week is, you know, porn. No, was that person a geek? Or
no,
a nerd?
No.
See, it's always, as I like to call them, the no-geese.
No-geese.
The no-geese. The non-geeks.
The muggles.
The no-geese. They're the muggles that always think I'm putting myself down.
Yeah.
It took a long, long time, really, truly up to about last year,
mm-hmm.
for my mother to stop thinking that geek was bad.
Right.
I think once she found out that, you know, I'm not going to die alone.
Right.
She was okay. She thought I
there
was going to be
there are others of
like,
your kind.
There are others. And they're males. But she thought I was going to die alone in a cardigan with, you know, the Star Trek insignia doing the fingers until the day I die alone. You know?
Well, it's funny because it took me a long time to resolve with myself that, you know, it's okay to be smart. It's okay to learn for the sake of learning. It's okay to know things that the people around you don't. And in fact, you're better off knowing more than they do because they're keeping themselves dumb.
Knowledge is power.
It is.
And that's, you know, although I just recently went on one of the podcasts. It was like, I have nothing to read. In the middle of Barnes & Noble, I couldn't find anything to read. So I may be a little lax in the knowledge area these days.
Well,
it's funny, too, because I'm constantly, where I work, I can get college tuition paid for.
Right.
So I'm constantly getting a degree.
Right.
And I didn't take classes these last two semesters, and I feel like a complete...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really need to keep my vitamins up because I feel like that even more when I don't need my vitamins.
Yeah.
But
gotta eat your Flintstones.
At heart, I'm a geek.
I used to work a receptionist job that there wasn't a lot of foot traffic and there weren't a lot of other duties besides answering the phone. So I was allowed to read until the phone rang or someone walked in. And people who worked there felt the need to hang out at the desk because, oh, how cute, she doesn't have anything better to do.
Mm.
Oh, what you reading there? And I'm like, oh, Zero, the Biography of a Dangerous Idea. And it talks about how Zero didn't always exist and it was thought of as evil, and how in the appendix there's a logic proof that proves that Winston Churchill was a carrot. And you see the people look a little scared and smile and nod and walk away. And yeah, imagine that. I'm just sitting here
reading
about math.
Well, you know, not for nothing, Meredith, but that totally veers you towards dork, you know.
I'm a little dorky too.
Just kidding.
I admit it.
It's funny though, because I was an elementary school teacher for a while, and, you know, I went through all the schooling, didn't actually get a job, but that's besides the point. a full-time. But one of the things that they taught us was the concept of cultural illiteracy, and how that some people, I don't know, I only know one of these people, I hope, because I don't ever want to learn it about anyone else, because I felt so sorry for this guy after learning this, that I didn't know what to do with that. Okay. And I have a tendency towards the lecturing.
Yes.
When I feel that you're doing something wrong. That might also be a geek trait, I think.
Well, you know, you should be. Blah, 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 blah.
Adjust glasses.
Yes.
Up nose. is the concept of, like, how some people, a portion of the population, post-graduating school and education, do not continue any education.
Okay.
Except forced by work. And other things. This guy has not read a book in full since high school. He's in his 40s. He has not read anything outside of the occasional magazine article or a couple of pages of a book in a bookstore. And that, in the terms of school, if you could see Meredith's face right now, this is why we need a video
text. My silence is indicative of me not being able to fathom what she's talking about.
And in terms of what I was taught in the elementary education program, that is culturally illiterate. Whatever you've learned, and you've seen these people. Now, I always feel bad for these people. Like, the Leno show will go out and do interviews ask people random facts. Or, are you smarter than a fifth grader, you know?
And these people don't know basic things.
But I feel bad for them because horrifying. They pull them off, like, you know, a double-decker ice cream on after, like, 5-6 hours in the sun on the beach. You know, everybody's brain is fried.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes I feel bad for these people because I'd be like, what? What? Can I swallow my chocolate swirl right now?
Right.
But it's that concept of, you know, never extending or further educating yourself and therefore regressing in terms of your literacy.
Right.
You can read, but you choose not to.
I don't understand the words that you just said.
I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Because I'm one of those people that I will read the same cereal box every morning while I'm eating my cereal just to be reading.
Oh my God, I've read so many cereal boxes. I know where, like, you could pop quiz me and I know where each ingredient, each major dietary supplement is on the side of a box just by pointing at it. Because I sometimes get so desperate to read. I'll read, like, shampoo bottles in the bathroom because, you know, I read in the bathroom. I admit it.
Absolutely. It's where the junk mail goes. What else are you going to do while you're there? And you're not going to deal with your junk mail otherwise, so why not combine the two?
I put romance novels in there.
There you go.
No. Sport magazines to remind me to get off the seat. No. I'm sitting, so I feel... Never mind. I'll edit that one
You're still
out.
Accomplishing something by sitting there, Casey. It's okay.
Because I'm reading. That's why I'm reading. But yeah, so in essence, a nerd could be anyone who continues their education post-grad. And I get so annoyed with people thinking it's negative still. Yeah. I always feel like superimposed over their face right now is, you know, God, what's his name? The blonde alpha.
Oh.
Alpha beta.
Yeah.
The face of the blonde ringleader, the alpha beta, and Revenge of the Nerds is superimposed on them because they're thinking bad thoughts about geeks. And I'm like, no, we're proud.
That's right.
Loud and proud. Some louder than others. Two of them sitting right here.
I firmly believe that anybody who is really into something is a geek for that subject. Like, I was telling Casey earlier, I knew somebody who was one of those people who, you know how people will spat out sports stats for the past 20 years of whatever sport, or they can look at classic cars and they're like, oh, that's a 19 whatever and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, these were always like, the jocks and the cool guys, because, you know, they knew their cool cars or whatever. And I knew somebody who was so into guitars that he could tell you that, oh, the wood from that series is from this forest, and they had to discontinue because of tree blight, and there's only 42 left in existence. And then they, you know, if you go to a guitar store, it'll cost you $3,000, and
plus decks, and, give or take.
But you know what I mean? It's like he knew. He could look at a guitar and he knew that's a Les Paul whatever, and there's only 20 left in existence.
Geek.
I don't care if you were in a rock band. You're a geek for your guitars.
Trying hard not to giggle, because at least you got something close on the Les Paul. Like, you knew a little bit about guitars, but I can tell how much you know about cars because you were like, that's a 19, whatever. Good rounding on that, you know?
You know what I mean?
You didn't even do, like, 1960. You were like, 1900? That covers some of them.
Whatever. But, you know.
There actually was that, remember that game show, Beat the Geeks?
Yes.
I loved that
Me
show.
Me too.
Because I was a complete noob. There was not, that made me realize that I'm more of a jack of all trades than a true geek, because there is not one subject I know everything there is to know on.
But I'm the same way. I don't know all about everything, but I know a little bit about quite a few things.
I always joke that, like, I have the social graces as a jack of all trades. You have more social graces in a sense, because you can talk about mostly anything.
Right.
Whereas if you're a complete nerd about only music, you're that guy who goes into, and music nerds, of all the geeks, music geeks annoy me the most.
Do they?
Okay. And I'm not generally, like, prejudiced against geeks of any type.
Okay.
Like, if you want to rattle off, my dad, you know, can go hours. He regaled poor Jason, cornered him practically in the apartment, and regaled him with, you know, early Hank Williams facts
right.
Saturday. But music geeks totally annoy me, because music is a preference.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, you can know everything there is to know about a guitar, but you can't tell me that my music sucks.
Right.
Because you like this music. And that's, I find that music geeks have a tendency to not just spout facts, but more make opinions into facts. And I don't know if that's just because of the music geeks I know, but, like, I'm okay with you knowing every album or producer and, you know, guest voice on all of the Rolling Stones discography.
Right.
But when you tell me that, you know, Rolling Stones is better than Led Zeppelin, and here's all the reason why, and I can't believe you
listen to... As she pushes up her glasses.
I can't believe you listen to Led Zeppelin. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And nothing but craps and, you know, like, ripoff artists. I always get so heated, because I'm like...
So can't I just enjoy the music?
I know! And don't judge my boy bands.
Yeah, can I just like what I like?
See, that's the thing. Like, I always find music to be greatly crafted music can be made. But good versus bad music is no such thing.
Right.
It's simply what you like.
Right.
And if you like Rolling Stones versus Led Zeppelin or vice versa, more power to you. But if you tell me I know nothing because I do like the occasional four-part harmony in a 98 Degrees song, you can just bite it.
I kind of like 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees is the best of the boy bands, okay? But that aside, and music geek rant aside, like, that Beat the Geeks show was so awesome.
It was.
And I always wanted to be a geek. I didn't want to be a contestant. I wanted to be one of the geeks.
Nice.
Which geek would you be? What would you be your geek area if you were to be anything?
Oh, God. Well, it's like I was saying before, I don't know everything about any one thing. And the way my brain organizes knowledge is that I know just enough to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't retain the minutiae of it.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because of all the interests, like, I find geek interests, there was always a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I was not geeky enough
right.
to even discuss that subject.
Right, no geek cred.
Comic book geek cred.
Yeah.
Geek cred is keeping out so many people from the higher echelon of geekdom. Because, you know, I have girls still tell me that when I mention Dragon's Den, they're like, oh, I always want to go in there, but I'm so intimidated. And it's...
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
There's mostly girls working there now, but it's still highly intimidating because of geek cred. They don't know what comic books to pick up. And they're afraid that if they pick up something wrong, quote-unquote, air quotes in the background, that there's some sort of stigma attached to picking up... And, you know, I admit that I pick up the occasional Mickey Mouse comic.
And that's fine. They still print them. That means there's still a market for them. You're the market.
And I love simplistic, you know, storylines sometimes. Right. Just to, like, wipe my brain clean of all the stress.
Right. Brain candy.
That's why I watch a lot of cartoons, like Chowder, because...
Chowder. Chowder's hilarious.
Isn't Chowder awesome? I think I'm a cartoon geek, if I were to pick anything.
Yeah.
An animation geek. But, again, I don't know a lot about that either. I just know a lot of... Name. I could name drop the shit out of that, but I can't beat the geek. So anything else in the geek? So you know a lot of geeks is basically what you're saying.
I do.
And they don't want to admit they're geeks.
No, I... On my Facebook, when they used to have the pieces of Flair application, I had one up there that said, "My heart belongs to a sexy nerd." And my fiancé got upset.
Because, aw.
And it's like, sweetie, you sit there and read all day about chemistry.
You're a nerd.
He knows chemistry, and especially the chemistry of nutrition, better than the nutritionist that I worked with at the hospital where I work. It's insane. And he can just spout off. He can tell you 20 foods that have this chemical in them and how it interacts with this other food, and don't take this vitamin if you're eating this food.
FYI, I never eat with Larry.
It's true.
I remember that one conversation we had at the diner, and it was just like, you lost me. I'm eating the burger, okay, dude? Like, and he's steroids and all.
He starts talking about the carcinogens and the bovine growth hormones.
I'm
going to
eat the carcinogens or whatever.
I have to say, though, he's really gotten me to start reading labels. And once a little knowledge is a very scary thing, put it that way. Once you know what partially hydrogenated oils do, that's his big thing, partially hydrogenated oils. And I'm like,
Or trans fats.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, what's your problem with partially hydrogenated? What's the big deal?
What you got against hydration?
But then you find out that it causes inflammation in the body and exacerbates the conditions.
Okay, don't depress our audience.
But I'm just saying, it's like, huh?
We're not trying to scare you.
No, but maybe we're. But it's like I never would have thought about that. And yeah, it's not something that I ever would have looked into on my own. And it's just this knowledge was put in front of me, and now I can't ignore it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You know what's awesome?
As I stare balefully at the cookies.
Eat the cookies. Eat them. You know, I think anything to do with nerds being a negative thing is dying, though, because you know how many things I've seen online about fantasy football and how it's just D&D
for
non-geeks.
Football is geeking. It's
total
geeking.
If you know enough stats about that player,
yeah,
in field to be able to pick them off field for a fantasy team, you are a geek.
Absolutely geek. It is. It's football RPG.
If you trick out your car with every aspect of a motor vehicle and you know exactly what a carburetor is.
Oh, it's got a V8 and so this
if
and
you
that
say V8
and a high
in my
blah,
presence.
Blah, 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 and, you know.
So frankly, if you say V8 in my presence,
you get
I'm
thirsty.
Like, geek! But basically, the connotation is going away. We, as geeks, have... Nateel and I were joking about how they need to develop like a geek hand symbol. So that, like, when you, like, meet another geek, you can throw the sign and be like,
nice.
Geek! But
right now you're doing East Side?
Yeah, because I was saying that
Eddie, make a G.
No, I was trying to do, like, I was trying to throw Vulcan fingers, but my pinky rebels every time. Fuck you. She's throwing perfect Vulcan fingers! Nateel and I both officially hate you. I'm hating you on behalf of her, too. All I have to say about that...
Live long and prosper, bitch.
All I have to say about that, and our final note is... You're a geek!
Yay!
Now, before our closing, here's an extra bit of ear love for you Harry Potter fans. Phoenix Tears by Harry and the Potters. Hear more music at harryandthepotters.com. That's HARRYANDTHEPOTTERS.com. And if you like what you hear, Harry and the Potters are actually on tour now. So see the website for details and tour dates.
We work hard all week long, or at least Hermione does. And when the weekend comes, we just want to have fun. Something that will make us strong, something that will last all weekend long, something
can't get enough of our geeky goodness, there's a few places you can get in touch with us. You can find us at geekfatal.com or on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. And you can find me under the username Being Geeky there, or on Twitter and Raptor at Being Geeky. You can also email our mailbag directly at mail@geekfatal.com. We'd love to hear your comments, answer your questions, and play your bumpers. Also, feel free to drop us a review on iTunes. We have none yet to date, so somebody should do one. Hint, hint, Meredith. And to subscribe via the iTunes store or directly through the RSS feed on our website.
So until next time, Geek Nation, keep it sexy.
Keep it nerdy.
Keep it geek fatale.
All original textual, graphical, and audio material found on this podcast and related website are copyright Geek Fatale in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network and are intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Such materials are the sole intellectual property of Natil Erickson and Casey Chapman and are protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported License. All names, images, sounds, and copyright material belong to their respective trademark or copyright holders.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Yo. And that's the end of the week in Geek.
Before she says anything else to embarrass me.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to edit out this whole section because I want to see if I still have a MySpace page.
Are you still there?